Thank you. Would you turn with me tonight? Three different passages. We're going to go to Acts 2, Acts 16, and Romans 6. We could go to 20 more, but I'm going to stop. We'll just pick some of these. Acts 2. Begin reading at verse 36. And then if you got your finger there, go to Acts 16. And hold on there. And then we'll go to Romans 6. And if that's not enough to hold on to, we'll go to Lord's Day 26 on page 228. There. All right, you got all that? Acts 2, you know the setting here. Pentecost has just heard, just happened. Peter has preached a sermon, and he's wrapping up his sermon. And so we're coming into it right at the very end. And he says this, Acts 2:36, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him," being Jesus, "both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." There, that's the end of his sermon. Now verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." Congregation, I just think this is what we need to be praying when we open the Word of God. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. Lord, would you cut my heart? You prayed that lately? When you opened the Bible? Lord, would you cut me? Rip into my heart, Lord, and show me my sin and show me my need for you. Because that's what happened to this, at the end of this sermon. This was their response. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children." I want you to hear that tonight, congregation. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now if you go to Acts 16, we'll travel to the town of Philippi and meet this Philippian jailer. Acts 16, you know the story, so I won't labor on that, but let's go to verse 30. "Then he brought them out," this is the jailer, "and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" This is, of course, after the earthquake, after he's listened to these guys singing. And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Now to Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 1. "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means." By the way, that's in Greek, the most powerful way you can say, you know, no way, are you crazy, right? That's this word here. "How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." the word of the Lord to us tonight. Now, if you'll take your form and prayer book and turn to page 228, we'll look at Lord's Day 26. Now, having said that, I know that when Reverend Overman was here, he wisely, you know, just preached on, you know, Lord's Day 25, just looked at question 65. So, but we did read 66, 67, 68. He didn't go there, of course. He didn't have time. But we'll try to touch on some of that tonight. But we'll pick it up now at question 69. I'll read the question if you'll join with me in the answer. How does holy baptism remind and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross benefits you personally? In this way, Christ instituted this outward washing and with it promised that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity, that is, all my sins. Now, question 70, what does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? Answer, to be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven our sins because of Christ's blood poured out for us in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed and sanctified us to be members of Christ, so that more and more we die to sin and live holy and blameless lives. Now, one more question, 71. Where does Christ promise that we are washed with his blood and spirit as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, where he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. This promise is repeated when Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. So I think you'll want to keep Romans 6 open. We'll be looking to that a little tonight as we again look at this subject topically. Congregation, several words to you tonight just by way of introduction. Okay? There's just introductory comments. I'm not going to be probably saying anything to you tonight that you haven't heard before, which is a terrible way to start a sermon, because, you know, you might say, well, then I might as well just, you know, pull out of listening to him. But what I want to say to you tonight, in all earnesty, is that God has given a special, precious gift to us in the sacraments. This is a special gift from God that we ought to hold as a precious treasure. Now, I know that in history, battles have been fought over issues of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Thousands have died over these issues. It's incredible. So we've moved in history from battling over this to where we are today, belittling it. So many churches today, I come in and I might see a little pulpit stand of some sort, little kind of a music stand thing, but I'm looking all over for the furniture on the platform. Where's the Lord's Supper table? Where's the communion font, or the baptismal font? Where are these pieces of furniture that proclaim the gospel in our churches, right? So we've gone from battling over this issue to now belittling it by just, well, we'll just ignore it. We won't even go there anymore, right? So it's interesting in history how we've handled this precious gift from God. So The gift God is giving to us in the sacraments is this. Predominantly this. He wants you to be assured of His covenant love, of His covenant promises to you. He doesn't want there to be any question in your mind. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will indeed have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you to change you into the image of Jesus Christ. He gives us the sacraments to help us in our assurance. God is so good to us, so kind to us. I mean, it's amazing that He would save us in the first place and give us the very precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He knows our weakness. He knows that we'll forget. He'll know that we'll wander around. And so He brings us back with the sacraments to this truth over and over and over. How precious are the sacraments to the Christian? They are a means of grace to us, and we'll talk about that tonight. He's seeking to feed our faith and to cause us to be strong in Christ. So they are evidences, proofs of His concern. The sacraments was not the church's idea. Some guys in a room, you know, some committee meeting didn't come up with this idea. Well, maybe we ought to have some sacraments. This is God's doing, and it's a gift to us. This is His passion towards us. That's why I want to try to say this passionately tonight to us, particularly to us who struggle with doubts and assurance, because over and over the Heidelberg Catechism is coming after us to help us be strong in our faith, that we might know that we are God's children. A good husband and a good wife want each other to know and be deeply assured of their love and care for each other, don't they? Don't they? I mean, a good husband, a good wife, they want each other to know something deeply. They want each other to know, I care about you. And so what do? In fact, they want the whole world to know that. They don't want just each other, but they want anybody and everybody else to know it. So what do when they get married? Well, we give each other this ring we wear on our hand. Right? So we get down on our knee and we ask, will you marry me? Now listen, you better not get down on your knee and ask that question unless you got a box with a ring in it and you're ready to go. Because if you show up thinking to ask that question and you don't have a ring, I mean, she's going to throw you out, rightfully so. Now, is the ring your marriage? No. Is the ring your love? No. Is your ring your commitment to faithfulness, to being a one-woman man or a one-man woman? Is that what that ring is? No. Well, then what is it? It's a symbol of all of that. And any man that gets onto an airplane to go off on some business trip and takes off his ring and slides it into his pocket is not a man of God. Because God has this kind of commitment. So, yeah, my ring pronounces to my wife and to the world that you are mine and I am yours, this ring. Well, tonight, the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, all of these, what's it for? Baptism doesn't save you. Ask the thief on the cross. He didn't get baptized. He didn't come to the Lord's table. It doesn't save you. I mean, if putting water on a baby automatically saved that baby, I wouldn't be sitting in the pulpit tonight. I'd be running all around town just throwing water on kids. It doesn't do that. Come on, we know that. But it's a gift from God to remind us and to think of our own baptism. When we see an adult or we see a child being baptized, that's what was done to me. So that's the first thing. The sacraments, just by way of introduction, are a kind gift from God. The sacraments have what some people have called, we got to be careful with this term, what some people call a sacramental power. When received by faith, let me say that, when and only when received by faith. It has a power. Listen to question and answer 67 that we said. Are both the word and the sacraments then intended to focus our faith on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? The answer is yes. In the gospel, the Holy Spirit teaches us, speaks to our mind, and by the Holy Sacraments, confirms it to our hearts. That our entire salvation rests on Christ's one sacrifice on the cross. So what is the Holy Spirit doing here? He's teaching us from the Word of God, and through the sacraments is showing us something in such a powerful way that it confirms the truth of it to our hearts. It confirms it. Right? In a marriage ceremony, the preacher's up there, you know, and you do the vows, and now you can give each other the ring, you know, and you try to get it on because you're all sweating, you can't hardly get it on, and you get that ring on. What's happening here? It's confirming to both of them in the pronouncement of their wedding that they are now married. When they go down the aisle, there's no question, they're married. And so it is with baptism. It has that power to confirm in my heart, yes, I'm indeed saved. So what do sacraments do? They confirm the gospel work in an outer way of what's going on in an inward way in my heart. It's an outer expression of what's happened on the inner. It portrays the gospel. It helps us see it. Proclaims the gospel. Helps others see it. Now, I know, let me just pause there a moment. In our culture, in our day and age, here in the United States of America right now, if you get baptized, okay, you know, hey, no big thing to the community. What do they care? But you go and get baptized in Saudi Arabia. You get baptized in Pakistan. Right? That's a whole other thing. When you publicly come forward, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, professing your faith in Him, and getting baptized in Saudi Arabia, you're probably out of a job the next day. You might be even losing your life. So I understand that when we say it proclaims the gospel to the world around us, that doesn't, in our culture, necessarily have that powerful of an impact. And so probably another reason, not to use excuses, but that the church is seemingly less interested in the sacraments. And then on the power side, it seals the gospel with His mark. Now, boys and girls, when I say seal, I don't mean like an envelope that you lick and seal it. That's not what we're talking about here. A seal that we're talking about here with the sacraments is like a piece of paper that gets an embossing on it, gets crushed by this device, and now it wrinkles it in such a way that it puts this design in the paper. So if you go home tonight, boys and girls, and you ask your mommy and daddy, could you show me my birth certificate? You run your fingers on it, on the original, and it'll be rough on this one part that's got a seal on it. It's got a stamp on it. And not like a stamp you put on an envelope, but a stamp that you literally crush into the paper. So we've been crushed into Christ. We've been sealed into Christ. Does baptism do that? Yes, it does. It seals. So it's a sign, so that hearing is joined with seeing. The sacrament portrays spiritual truth. It points to something beyond itself, and then it seals it. The seal gives official authentication to an act or document, a sure pledge. So, boys and girls, you go home. All right, come on. How do you know your mom and dad is your mom and dad? How do you know that, boys and girls?
Well, because I don't know. I live there because I, you know, that's where I eat supper.
Well, you've got a piece of paper in the house. Your mom and dad filed it away carefully. I hope they did. It says you're their kid. Yeah. An honorable discharge. I remember I got that when I got out of the Marine Corps. Marriage certificate. Death certificate. They all got a seal on it. Is that piece of paper your birth? No. Is that your discharge? No. Is that your marriage? No. Is that your death certificate? No. But it states the fact. The sacrament confirms the covenant relationship of God and the believer. And it stresses our obligations to that relationship. Now, I know you're not going to find the word sacrament in the Bible. But it's constantly used by the writers of the early church fathers. And the word comes from the Latin word, a holy act. So it's Latin for a holy act. So Romans 4:11 says, he received circumcision as a sign or seal of the righteousness which he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. Why did Abraham receive that? The sign, the seal? Why did these new believers in Acts receive this baptism? Why? As a sign and a seal. So again, sacraments don't add anything to salvation. I'm careful when I say that because, of course, it's adding the assurance, the confirmation within my heart. I get that. But you know what I'm saying. It isn't Jesus plus the sacraments. That's what I'm saying, right? It's just Jesus. But here he comes with a special gift for you and for me, for his church, to baptize us and to bring us to the table and feed us over and over and over as we take of the body, we take of the blood of Christ. Therefore, sacraments should always be combined, of course, with the preaching of the Word of God. Sacraments should be done in a worship service. It's not a free-for-all to do however we want in our homes. So there's two sacraments, not seven, as the Roman Catholic Church would teach, just two. Jesus Christ instituted only two sacraments. Of course, the Old Testament, we had circumcision and the Passover, and now we're moving over to in the New Testament, the baptism and the Lord's Supper, you know all that. So within the Noahic covenant, there was this sign, this seal of the promise that I'm not going to flood again with the rainbow, right? So we have these covenant promises, the Abraham covenant, we have the circumcision, we have these signs for us and these seals. And now in the New Testament, what a precious thing to have. So the source of the sacraments, as I said, is God himself. And we saw that from Matthew 28:19-20 for baptism. And Luke 22 would be an example of how the Lord's Supper was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Luke 22:17-20. So the sacraments do not disperse grace, but are a sign of grace. So let's wrap up these introductory comments. Number one, it's a great gift. The sacraments are a great gift. We should be thankful for the sacraments. It's a great power. We should be grateful that the sacraments confirm within our hearts and feed us at the table when taken by faith. And what a great source the sacraments are from God himself. Now, just a few words tonight about baptism. And I know next week, we'll take on the next Lord's Day that has to do with infant baptism. But baptism. John Calvin says, baptism serves our faith, and baptism serves our confession before other men. So there's the two purposes there. Baptism serves our faith, and baptism serves our confession before men. Someone has said, I can't find who said this, maybe you can help me, but it's baptism is liquid gospel. I like that. Baptism is liquid gospel. It serves our faith by declaring us washed and clean. So let's run through a few things about baptism here. Baptism seals to us the knowledge and certainty of being forgiven by Christ. Okay, boys and girls, maybe you've been outside and you're coming in for dinner. Mom says, come on in, got time for dinner. Wash your hands. Okay, now, you're heading to the table and Mom says, did you wash your hands? And what do you say? Yeah, see, they're clean. Okay, so that's what baptism does. See, I've been washed. Did you wash your hands? Yes, Mom. Look, they're clean. Have you been washed by the blood of the Lamb? Inside? Yes. Yes, I have. I've been washed. 1 Peter 3:21. And this water symbolizes baptism and now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. That was 1 Peter 3:21. If you're taking notes tonight. It's a good verse. Ephesians 5. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Why? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, a clean church. So baptism shows that Jesus Christ has washed us, church. We are clean before him. So baptism seals to us the knowledge and certainty of being forgiven by Christ. If you're struggling with your certainty of being forgiven by Christ, go to your baptism and remember that you have been washed by the water. Second, baptism. It serves our faith. So first of all, it serves our knowledge and our certainty, but now it serves our faith. Sealing to us the knowledge and certainty of being accepted by God for all time. We need not look to some further sacrament, some other Savior. We are complete in Christ once for all. This is signified in the one-time baptismal sacrament. So baptism is done once because we are only born into Christ once. We are only washed by the blood of the Lamb once. Whereas the Lord's Supper is a continual sacrament to keep feeding our faith. More on that in another sermon. It serves our faith by portraying our death in the death of Christ. We saw that in our Romans 6 passage. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in grace that may sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That's that sacramental power I was talking about. We're baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So it portrays our death in the death of Christ. Four, it serves our faith by sealing to us the knowledge and certainty of being one, of being new in Christ. Not just cleansed, but new in Christ. New. New by being victorious in sin. New by having hope that's eternal. New by having this constant, abiding Holy Spirit dwelling within me. I am new in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is what it seals to us, this newness that I have in Christ. That gives me confidence to enter out into life each day. Yes, I will fail, but I am new in Christ, and you are too. Victorious in his death and resurrection. So Colossians 2:12, Paul says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Notice, we are raised up with Christ, just like Romans 6:4 says, we walk in newness of life. And there is the working of God who raised him from the dead, just like Romans 6:4 says that Christ was raised to the glory of the Father. And this happens through faith in the working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Number five, it serves our faith, sealing to us the knowledge and certainty of being united to Christ forever. United in death, yes, and united to him in life, yes, but also now united in blessing, which is amazing, that we share in the inheritance of the Son of God. Wow. Galatians 3:26, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, watch this, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:26, your baptism is a sign and a seal to you that you will share in all the blessings of the Son of God. Wow. So why did God bring to his church baptism? To assure the believer of all these truths. Baptism is a power to experience victory over sin. And baptism is a proclamation to the world of your unity with Christ. So let's conclude. Is everyone who's baptized, are they all saved? I wish that was the case. But whether you're in a Reformed church or a Baptist church, whether you were baptized as an infant or some kind of what they call believer baptism, sadly, I have to tell you tonight, some who are baptized are not saved. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Think of Ishmael, who received circumcision right along with Abraham, right along with little Isaac. Didn't stay in the covenant. So make your salvation sure by enduring with a faith in Christ. The sacrament will help you with that. Number two, how much water should we use? Should we sprinkle? Should we pour? Should we dunk? What? You know, John Calvin helps us here because it was cold in his land too. And he said, you know, it's not very practical some days to fully immerse. And I know we want to argue about whether we're sprinkling or pouring or dunking. But if we're arguing about the amount of water, let me ask you, have we understood baptism? Is it the amount of water? No. It's about the blood of the Lamb. And the water is a sign and a seal. Whether it's 27 drops or it's 27 gallons, I don't think that's the issue. So go to your baptism to remember the grace of God. It'll help increase your worship. Go to your baptism to remember the mercy of God. It'll assure you of your forgiveness. Go to your baptism to remember your identity. Go to your baptism to remember your calling upon your life. And go to your baptism to remember your destiny. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I want to thank you tonight for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who truly washes away all our sins. And we thank you tonight, Lord, that you help us in our weakness, by bringing us to these precious sacraments. We pray that indeed, Lord, we would receive these sacraments by faith. Receive the water, receive the body, receive the blood of the Lamb, all by faith. to assure us of our identity, our calling, of who we are, where we're going, what we ought to be doing right now at this point in time in life. So, Father, thank you for looking upon us out of such mercy and knowing that we are a people in need of such signs, in need of such sealing, that we might be sure. Thank you for your goodness to us in this regard. Now, our Father in heaven, thank you for your word to us tonight, for we pray it in Jesus' name.